Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Devin Nunes said last week I was a guest on CPAC with Matt Slapp. I've been there many times speaking to a lot of you at CPAC, but I wanted you to hear this interview because we talk about the tech oligarchs that we've talked a lot about here on the podcast and tech tyrants. But Matt Slapp interviewed me for the CPAC show. We thought it would make sense for everyone to be able to hear that episode on the Devin Nunes podcast. Hope you enjoy.
2 weeks ago, job numbers came in. The single biggest number in the history of our country. Last week, retail sales numbers came in. Retail sales, the single greatest number in the history of our country.
What a great clip of the president at the Tulsa rally. As I said, it was my honor to be there with him. There were so many great lines in that speech. Of course, my favorite is when he threw the cup of water across the stage because the fake news is accusing the president of not being able to drink water. And he so effectively and humorously explained the reason he does that is he's trying not to spill on his very expensive red or blue tie. So anyway, it was great to be there for the speech. And as I said, we've got another great crusading conservative congressman on the show today. Devin Nunes. Congressman Nunes, thanks for being with us on CPAC Live.
It's great to be with you, Matt. I didn't know that was why he did that with his hand. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so he said he called Melania after he gave this great speech at West Point, and she explained to him that you're trending because, and he's like, that's awesome. They loved my speech. She goes, no, you're trending because they said you couldn't walk down the ramp.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't walk down the ramp because he had slippery shoes on, and he was really afraid that he would do a Jerry Ford and fall over. And he said that the only worst thing that the news could cover is that he would fall on his you-know-what.
Well, and, you know what you know what I always say is whatever they accuse you of doing, that's what they're doing. So obviously, yes. Biden hiding in his basement, nobody's hardly ever seen him in the last year. He can't hardly go out on the campaign trail. So, of course, they'd have to accuse Trump of, you know, having Alzheimer's and not being able to function properly, physical handicaps. Makes perfect sense to me, Matt. That's normally what they do.
So the speech, well, he was accused of having Parkinson's. That was why he was trending, because it was like, fear that Trump has Parkinson's. So it was great. He drank the water and threw it across the stage. It was awesome. So in this era of fake news where you can get online, go to your favorite website, try to figure out what happened the day before, even trying to figure out what happened with the Tulsa rally, we're all faced as conservatives with constant false reporting. And in order to counter that reporting, people like you get out there on social media and say, here's what really happened in the halls of Congress. Here's what's really going on with the Durham report. Here's what's really going on. Don't listen to Adam Schiff. But now even that voice, which is so important on these social media platforms, we could lose that too.
Yeah. So it's important to understand, after the 2016 election, the Democratic Party and their apparatus realized it's not enough to control 90% of the media, which today they dominate. It's not even like it used to be 10 years ago that 90% of the journalists, those that are creating the content that people read in the United States and around the world, 90% were liberal. What we now have moved to is that 90% are activists working for the most part for either companies that are owned by billionaire leftists or billionaires that have their own agenda, or for companies that are, you know, legacy media that are essentially going broke, right, over the long run, or their revenues are going down. But it's become an arm of the Democratic Party, 90%. What they realized after the 2016 election, even with all of that, even being able to build narratives, whether it was that Trump was, was going to do bad things with Putin. Remember that? That was the narrative the media was building all the way through that. We didn't know they were actually investigating the Trump campaign. They were able to, you know, every day was a new bombshell on the Trump candidacy back in 2016. Even with all of that, and Trump didn't even have any money, okay? Right. What they realized is that Trump and the Trump campaign and Republicans and conservatives were going to these free spaces on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, especially those two, and they could exchange ideas freely. And the government actually has given those companies that are creating these public spaces on the internet special powers, as long as they don't create content. Well, that's no longer what they decided to do. So after the 2016 election, Zuckerberg and Obama are ironically, and I think I talked about this at CPAC, if I remember right, they're the ones who coined the term fake news. We had never heard fake news before. It was kind of a new term. Nobody had really ever, you know, used that term. So for 2 weeks after the election, Obama and Zuckerberg are saying, well, it was really fake news was the reason that Trump won and Hillary lost. It was because these Americans were getting all this garbage. And then, of course, a month later, it turned into not only was it fake news they were getting, but it was Russian fake news they were getting, right? It was the Russians that were doing all of this. So at that point, now, of course, you know that what happened is that Trump turned around and just put it onto them and said, no, you guys are fake news. And all of us, the conservatives and Republicans, were like, no, you guys are the ones that are fake news. And, you know, you can have example after example daily practically of fake news.
Yeah.
So they decided that 90% of the content development by the Democratic Party, essentially, the echo chamber, as the Obama administration, was not enough. So what's happened is that Facebook, Twitter, and Google, the three big tech oligarchs, they're controlling everything. They've created new algorithms. I don't Google anymore. I tell people, don't Google, because you're going to get garbage.
So what do you use?
Well, I use DuckDuckGo, which is not great either. Yeah. But Google is the worst. Google's controlling now. I put this out yesterday on Parler, which we'll come back to that.
I like Parler.
Yeah, Parler's the only place now that's actually one of those town squares where everybody can go and not be and not be censored by them. So what's happened here, Matt, just to kind of cut to the chase, is that we're not able to reach, Republicans are not able to reach over 50% of the American population on any given day. So over 50% of the population. And then look, the left and the Democrats know this. They have better numbers than even I do. When you have 92% of the searches, this is what I put on Parler, going through Google, all right? And then a lot of times what pops up first is Wikipedia, which is total trash and garbage, okay? Try going on there and editing. You know, conservatives, we have a lot of people said, hey, I tried to, you know, go onto your Wikipedia page and put the truth in. I mean, Wikipedia is fiction, right?
Don't look at Matt Schlapp or Mercy Schlapp on Wikipedia. You won't be able to eat lunch.
Right. And the same thing if you look up me. So Google's doing that. Twitter, as you know, shadow ban me. They throttle you. Facebook is doing the same thing. You know, Facebook, which used to be a nice platform. It's almost become useless because, you know, once you and I like to use Facebook a lot just to kind of keep up with, you know, my friends from high school or my family members or what have you. Now, you know, you're lucky to even see that because they populate it with garbage. And
yes.
Then anytime, you know, even though I've got, you know, huge followings on Facebook, I'll put something out there and share it. If it's at all even remotely political, I'm lucky if I get 2 likes. It's almost as like, you know, nobody can see it. So look, the problem here is that over half of Americans today, and this is going to be Republicans' challenge in the future and this Trump campaign, is that you can't even reach them. And in fact, the only time we were able to reach them is when, ironically, during the impeachment hoax, when the networks, the dummy networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, ran us live.
Yep.
And it was really the first time that the American people got to see Republicans uncensored. You know, we got more time in 1 week than we got in 20 years. And you got to see the difference between me and the House Intelligence Committee Republicans who have really been run.
How did the American people react to seeing you all counter what Schiff was doing? They reacted pretty damn well.
That's exactly right, which is why after you know 5 or 6 days of it, they turned it off. ABC, NBC, CBS said, whoa, we're getting demolished here. The polls are dropping. It's because the American people saw that, wow, wait, there's a bunch of like the Republicans make some sense. They're like younger people, young women on the committee. They're talking sense. And meanwhile, you had, the Democrats who would, talk about conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory and, making no sense. None of it made any sense because, of course, it was all made up by them. So anyway, I went on that long riff just to say how important this is going in election. I would say that, our only opportunity really to exchange ideas and communicate with one another where we know that we're not going to be censored is Parler, which is kind of a combination. I like to say it's a combination of some of the qualities of Twitter, some of the qualities of Instagram, but at least we're not going to be censored there. And I'm just urging everybody to go there. And I'm hoping that I don't have to use Twitter, sooner rather than later, hopefully.
So look, I just want to summarize what you said on the major left-wing Silicon Valley companies, and there are a few that aren't that are also well known. But the ones that you mentioned, what's key is Facebook actually started the soonest censoring by getting liberal groups to filter posts from people like yourself to see if it wasn't fake news, right? So they started this all the soonest or the earliest. But what we're seeing from Twitter, especially now, is just outright blocking conservative voices. I know what happens to me if I get if I send a tweet out that really takes off. It'll take off with pro-Trump retweets and likes, but something strange happens if it really takes off that way. Like all of a sudden that stops, like abruptly, and then you will just get pummeled by the whole rest of Twitter. So there's clearly somebody moving things around. And so it's important for our viewers to understand that. And I'll give everyone an update on how you sign up onto Parler, Congressman Nunes, because I don't even know if I have my account yet because we keep intending to do it. But it's about time we stop talking about these things and start doing these things.
Yeah. And one of the things when I went onto Parler about 4 or 5 months ago, Matt, that one of the things that I discovered is there were people that were there, good hearted, great Americans who have been banned from all the platforms. And it was so sad, like it was really remarkable, to see, like these are not people that are hiding, they have their name. And as you know, if you're using your name, you can be sued for defamation, slander, and libel in this country. So I always put in my mind, I'm like, hey, if you're out there on social media using your own name, and there were so many of those people that were on Parler when I first got on there, and people were like, wow, I'm so glad you're here because I can't use Twitter, I can't use Facebook, I can't, go on and give my opinion any longer. And so, and now just over the last 4 or 5 months, especially after they went in and censored the president of the United States. Okay. I mean, it's just unimaginable, because it's fake news story after fake news story, and then they censor our stuff. Now, Parler just keeps growing. And I find it to be, it's really liberating to know, to have that comfort level that whatever I put out there, is not going to be censored, right? If you follow me, you're going to see it in real time. And that's what Facebook and Twitter used to be before they started, basically becoming content developers, which is why they shouldn't have these special deals from the government.
Well, the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, talked about this on Maria Bartiromo's Sunday show, that they've got this kind of carve out in the law, which they call Section 230,
right,
which gives them these special rights. Does that prevent an American who's wronged by censorship or whatnot from taking a legal action against that company?
Well, look, I'm in I'm suing Twitter so far successfully. Now, that doesn't mean that every American can sue Twitter, but I have said very publicly that people that have the wherewithal, we have to go against these companies because it's not like
it's hard to win, right? That's what the setup of the law makes it harder for you to win in these cases.
Well,
right?
the key is this: the carve out, the 230 carve out, was done by Congress back in the mid 90s in order to create the internet superhighway.
Yes.
That was unimpeded. Everybody could go there. That's why. So you didn't want to create a system where if Matt Slapp and Devin Nunes went onto a platform and we got into a he said, she said, and I accused you of, some kind of crime or something.
Yeah.
We didn't want to make it so that company was liable for what you said. writer for whatever crime was created on that on the platform. So for all these years, essentially, that went pretty much unimpeded. But the last 5 years, that's collapsed. The last year, it's gotten, you know, so bad that they don't even care. They're brazen about what they do. I mean, they will censor the president of the United States, and they don't care. So I believe that they're not even following the letter of the law. When you take the, I call them tech oligarchs for a reason, because they're really monopolies. Even when startups come up, they buy them or they throttle them down. They ensure that you know nobody can even get into that. It's quite the opposite. You now have a monopoly guarding the internet superhighway, so that the only people that can get in there are left wingers and left wing fact checkers. So I think they're vulnerable under the law as it is today. But you just have to be able to go to court and hopefully the judicial system, which I know everybody's frustrated right now with it, but yes, Hopefully we have enough good judges out there across the country who realize that no, this is not, Congress did not intend to allow three tech oligarchs to be able to decide who gets onto the internet superhighway or not.
Sounds like a lot of collusion between the Democratic Party and these left-wing oligarchs, Congressman.
Well, you're exactly right, Matt. It's more, yeah, it's definite collusion, absolutely.
We love what you do in Congress. I'm so glad that you've been leading on so many things, including making sure that the Obama administration, people who did wrong, which I think went very high, are held accountable. Thank you for all you have done. We've given you some of CPAC's highest awards because of your work, and it's wonderful to hear about your lawsuit. Can we have you back on as things develop in the lawsuit?
Absolutely. I look forward to it, and of course, I always appreciate the opportunity to be at CPAC, and I think and be interviewed by you. Last time I was interviewed by you, so it doesn't get better than that.
We always have fun, and please never give Nancy Pelosi your proxy, okay? That's one thing we got to make sure.
that won't happen.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another great episode of CPAC Live. It was great to talk to Devin Nunes and Paul Gosar. We have great champions in Congress.
It's Devin Nunes. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Matt Slapp. It's going to be a great 4th of July week. We'll catch you next Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. Trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Darkness. us, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.